Hey, good morning. What a joy to be here. You guys are such a blessing. Thanks for letting me come. And hey, if you have your Bibles, you can open them to Acts chapter 9. We're going to have some fun with that this morning. Hey, and you know, it was funny. Friday, I got a text from Robert, and the text said, "Are you in town?" And I thought, am I in town? Tucson, you know? So then right after that, I got another one. Or are you even in the state? And I thought, something's up, you know? So I called him and he answered the phone like this, oh. And I went, oh no, I think he must be sick. And I go, are you sick? So anyway, hey, he called. Thank you guys for letting me come. It's a blessing to be here. And, you know, I love your pastor. He's like my best friend and we're close. And I love you guys. You guys are always so kind and good. And I look at this as my second home, you know, my home away from home. And so it's a blessing to be here. And today we're going to look at Acts 9, man. We're going to look at the impossible salvation, huh? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have as we open your word. And God, I do pray. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, I know some of us, we're feeling beat up, worn out with life in general. And I pray that as we look at this and follow what's going on, I pray that it would just encourage us. And God, that it would take away that discouragement. We would see your faithfulness, your goodness, and Lord, even your mercy, and it would work in our hearts. Some of us, we're about ready to give up spiritually. Man, we feel like everything's coming against us. And again, Lord, use this passage to bring us out of that and to bring us in that place, God, where we know that we can trust you. So we do thank you so much for this record we have here in the book of Acts, that we can look at it, we can read about your faithfulness, and we can rely on that. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, as we pick this up, I know we're kind of picking up in the middle of something, and just to catch us up, the book of Acts, right? We're familiar, it's the beginning of the church. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus tells the apostles to go to Jerusalem and wait, and power will be given to them, and then they'll be his witnesses, you know, to Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost parts of the world. And the first 8 chapters are kind of going in that direction. But in that, they got attacked. If you remember, right after they start walking with the Lord, some of them get arrested, and they got to deal with that. Then they get released. Then they go for a little bit longer. Then they get arrested again. Then they get released. And then the major attack to me, the surprise attack, is Ananias and Sapphira from within the church try and corrupt the church. And then that's taken care of in a rather unique way, right? They just kind of get killed is what happens, man. They get, every time I read that, I think they wrapped them up like burritos and carried them out. But listen, and off they go. Then comes the big one. Then comes this guy, Stephen, excited about the Lord. And they come against him and they kill him. They stone him. And in that, when they're stoning him, it says that there was a young man there named Saul, and they laid their clothes, their garments at the feet of a young man. Some people read that and they think, well, he was a little guy. No, he wasn't a little guy. You need to understand, he was a young man. And here's the way I interpret it. He was the guy in charge. Why were they laying their cloaks at his feet? Because he was the one calling the shots. That's why. And then as Stephen is stoned, and then here's what I believe. That moment, something broke inside of that man. Something happened, something clicked as he watched this other young man being stoned, looking up. Do you remember that? Looking up to heaven, and Stephen looks up to heaven. He sees heaven open, right? And he sees the Lord Jesus standing next to the Father. And then what does he say? He looks at those stoning him, and what does he say? Lord, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. They're out of their minds. That's a paraphrase. Something clicked inside that other young man named Saul. And he didn't know how to cope with that. How do you cope with that kind of faith? He knew God from a Jewish perspective, but he didn't have that kind of faith, and something broke, and here's what happened. Man, then he decided, I'm going to do away with this movement. I'm going to kill all the Christians. I'm going to get rid of them. And according to his own testimony, he murdered some Christians. He took it upon himself. You can read later in Acts, and you can read in Philippians, and you can read in Galatians. Well, just read the rest of your Bible, and he talks about listen, man, and so something's going on in him. Now we pick it up. We pick it up where he's determined. Listen carefully. He is determined he's going to wipe out Christianity from the face of the earth. Do you understand that? Do you understand that's who we're talking about? That's the guy we're looking at. He wants to annihilate this thing called Christianity. So look, pick it up in verse 1, and it says, listen, it says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest, asked for letters from him, or asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any of the who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. This guy is bound and determined to do away with Christianity. Get that in your heart. Listen, I think we read Acts chapter 9. I don't think we get the magnitude of what's going on. Maybe put it today's context. Familiar with ISIS? They hate Christianity, right? They beheaded some Christians. Those guys are who Saul was. It's who he is. Are you getting a hold of that? Right now, I want you to think about, right now in your mind, think about somebody who you think is unsavable. Got them in your head? Now you need to repent for thinking that. And you need to understand there's nobody unsavable. We need to understand that. Listen, this guy, who was the one guy that was in all the videos for a while, that Jihad John, isn't that what they called him? The guy who would sit there with a knife and finish the deed. What if I brought that guy to church with me this morning? But hey, here's Jihad John. You guys would be going, as long as he don't have a knife, I'm good. That's who we're talking about. Listen, so here's what he does. He gets letters. He's not content to just wipe out Christianity in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria. He wants to wipe out Christianity everywhere. He's going outside. Do you guys know Damascus is not part of Jerusalem? I mean, part of Israel. Do you know that? Actually, it's then and today part of Syria. He wants to go all the way to Damascus and wipe out those Christians. He wants to go get them. Now listen, there's a large Jewish population there, but he gets letters from the synagogue saying, I want to go there. Now it's about a 140-mile trip. And I always love, listen, I know a bunch of you are getting ready to go to Israel. I love that drive as you leave Tiberias and come out of the Sea of Galilee and you go up to the Golan. That's the road to Damascus. I just stop. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'll just yell. But that's the road to Damascus. And listen, off he's going. He's got like, I'm thinking he's got 25, 30, 40 guys with him, right? He's got a contingency with him. Imagine what they talked about on the way. You got a 140-mile trip. That was a couple days. You're talking about, man, when we get those Christians, we're going to get them. And, you know, maybe they're talking about eating some of their livers or something. I don't know. And they're just like having this conversation or hating Christians. And they're going along. Oh, and notice what Christians were called back then. Did you pick up on that? They weren't called Christians. What were they called? Those who were of the way. I like that. I wish we would be of the way more than we are of the way. The way means this. The way means that we're on a journey and we're walking with Jesus. And listen, Jesus is the way to holiness. He's the way to righteousness. He's even the way to blessing, isn't he? Too many people, we treat Christianity as fire insurance. Like we don't like the idea of hell, so we'll take Jesus. No, it should be the way. It should be governing our life. And that's who those guys were all about. Oh, one more thing before we move on. Also, did you pick up that it said men and women? Wow, that's intense. Actually, three times throughout Scripture, challenge you to find it, Saul talks about going after women. He was an evil man, right? Are you with me? He's evil. He's like pure evil. And so here he is, he's going along, talking to his guys. I know once we get there, man, we're going to have so much fun getting those Christians, arresting them. Maybe some of them won't even make it back to Jerusalem. Maybe we can see to that. But we're going to take them and we're going to get rid of them. And as he's going, in verse 3, it says, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Woo! He tells us later on it was around noon. So if it's around noon, that's pretty bright, right? Right? You guys with me? So around noon, and then a bright light shone from heaven, man. And so it was brighter than the sun. And man, listen, you're going along. I don't know about you guys, but I've not had those kind of experiences with the Lord. Man, if I'm cruising along and all of a sudden, I would be freaked out. Especially if I'm not doing what the Lord wants me to do, right? Boom, man, there's this bright light, and it tells us, listen, that bright light came, and then it says, verse 4, then he fell to the ground. I always say God knocked him off his horse. And people go, dude, it doesn't say he was on a horse. And I go, I know, I don't even know if he's on a donkey, but here's what I do know. God knocked him off his high horse, yeah. Right? Man, and listen, man, you got to think about, this is crazy. The Lord is getting his attention in a very, very strong way. You know, some people tell me this, you know, the Holy Spirit is a perfect gentleman and he would never do anything to disrupt your life. You might want to tell Saul that. Like, he's on his way to kill Christians and God goes, right? You ain't coming into Damascus the way you think you're coming into Damascus. Knocks him, he's on the ground. Listen, I don't think of this guy. He's like on the ground, he's like freaking out. I think like all of us would, right? He's freaking out. And then, listen, then he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Oh my gosh. I've never heard God audibly. If I did, I think I would lose a bunch of control. You with me? That would be, come on, man, wouldn't that freak you out if all of a sudden you hear? And I always have in my mind, if God ever spoke, it would be this like deep with a lot of reverb, right? Saul, 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 Saul. Why? Yeah. And man, listen, he's hearing the Saul, Saul. Notice God says his name twice. That's sort of interesting. Whenever God wants to get our attention, if you notice how he like says your name twice, you know, through scripture. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I'm thinking Saul's going, oh no. Now you gotta understand something. He's a Jew. He's a devout Jew. Got to remember that. He thinks he's doing God a favor. But here's what else. He hears a voice like that. He sees light like that. Here's what he knows. This is something divine going on. It's not just make-believe. Something intense is going on from heaven. That's what he knows. So he hears that. And then he hears, why are you persecuting me? I think he's thinking, I don't think I'm persecuting you, God. Right? So he asks him, listen, this is like, I think freaking out wise, he said in verse 5, who are you, Lord? Huh? Now it cracks me up, you know, the liberal scholars, those who don't really want to believe the Bible and don't want to really believe in the Lord. They go, well, when he says, who are you, Lord? It's like he's saying, who are you, sir? Uh-uh. No. Listen, again, a devout Jew. He's not saying Lord like we say Lord Jesus, but he's saying Lord like Lord God. Here's what Saul knows as he's on the ground. This is God speaking to me. So he's going, like, reasonable question, right? Who are you, Lord? What is going on right now? Think about him trying to process that. Think about you if you were in that position. Wouldn't there be a lot to process? Pat, why are you persecuting me? Okay, who are you, Lord? Right? What's going on? And then the next part had to absolutely go over the top. Listen, who are you, Lord? In the middle of verse 5, then the Lord said to him, I am Jesus. Just stop right there. Just right there. Don't read the rest. Just think about that. Who are you, Lord? I'm Jesus. Oh, no, you're not, man. You died, right? Remember, He's part of the Sanhedrin. He's part of that movement. I even believe he might have been around when Jesus was crucified. He might have even crossed paths, right? They were alive at the same time. Who knows? But here's what he knows. You're dead, and you were put in a tomb, and you need to stay dead, right? In his mind. I'm Jesus. Oh, no. like Jesus, Jesus? I'm Jesus. Wow. Just to process just the whole idea as a Jew is one thing, right? As a devout Jew is another thing. As a Pharisee is another thing. But as somebody who's persecuting the church like mad, those had to be the most frightening words he's ever heard in his entire life. Wow. Here's what I'm thinking. If you're Jesus, I'm about to get squashed like a little cockroach, right? Wow. I'm Jesus, and what is Jesus? I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting, right? The rest of verse 5, the one you're persecuting, Saul. Oh, no. Talk about a radical. Think about, man, he had this whole vision of coming into Damascus as this conquering guy, coming and wiping out Christianity, being the one who saves Judaism from this weird cult that's going on. It started with those 12 guys down in Jerusalem, all getting baptized in the Spirit. He didn't know that part, but all of them preaching that stuff, talking about Jesus, healing the sick, doing the crazy things. And now, listen, now... I'm Jesus whom you are persecuting. Okay. Now, I like the next part. Some of your Bibles don't have it. Some of the translations don't have this next part where it says, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. Some of your, you know, and there's another phrase in here. Some of your translations don't have. Here's what you need to know. It's footnoted. Some of you are trying to read your footnotes. It's hard, huh? Look up. Here's what you need to know. Later on, this afternoon, not while I'm talking, this afternoon, read Acts 22 and Acts 26. Because when Paul recounts that, he talks about the very things that they say don't belong here. So I know they belong there because Paul recounts it and talks about them. So here's what I know. Here's Jesus appears to him, says, I am Jesus whom you're persecuting. Why are you kicking against the goads? Now, some of us, we're going, I don't even care if that's in there because I have no clue what that means. You know, listen, we don't live in that society anymore, that culture anymore, right? So most of us are going, who cares? Here's a kicking against the goads. They would plow with oxen in those days, right? And you get an oxen, and some oxen were okay. Some were like turkeys, like some of us. Some of us are okay, some of us are turkeys. I happen to be on the turkey side. And so if you had an ox that wouldn't behave and you teamed him up with a behaving ox, and then you had that one and he's kicking and bucking and just being a jerk, here's what they would do. They would take some really sharp pointed sticks and they would shove them out there just about ankle high. So when that ox would like think he's going to kick and be ornery, he would hit that sharp stick. And oh, it's kind of like this. It's like getting hit in the ankle with a shopping cart. You guys felt that? Yeah, several of you going, ow. That hurts, doesn't it? I was at Trader Joe's a few months ago, and you know Trader Joe's has those little carts. Any of you guys go to Trader Joe's? They can say shopper in training, you know, and it's for little guys. And I saw this lady, man, she's in there with this wild kid, and she gives him one of those, and I'm thinking this is going to be fun. And like I'm watching him, within 30 seconds, boom, right in her ankle, she screams at him, and I thought, lady, I saw that coming. Come on. That was bound to happen. You know how you get hit? You know how bad that hurts? Well, imagine that like tenfold. So here's the thing. You did that so the ox would straighten out. Do you understand what Jesus is telling Saul? Hey, Saul, I'm coming after you. Why do you keep resisting? Did any of you resist God's grace? Don't raise your hands. Do you remember resisting? And I argued with God for at least 6 weeks in my pottery studio. And he's trying to get in my heart, and I'm going, just stay away. Leave me alone. I was one of those guys, man. I was a hard conversion, and I'm going, I don't need... I tell God, I'm fine. It's the rest of the world that's messed up. I'm okay, right? I'm a good guy. He goes, oh, you're so not a good guy, Pat. So listen, that's what the Lord's saying. Saul, why are you arguing? And I kind of interpret it this way. You need to stop, because guess what? God's going to win. Hallelujah, huh? Listen, so check this out. Look at, why are you, it's hard for you to kick against the goats. Verse 6, so trembling and astonished. Man, there's so much in here, right? Listen, that tells us it wasn't just like, oh, I got saved today. It's like this guy is over the top freaking out, right? Have you ever trembled? Have you ever gotten so scared you trembled? Huh? Man, that's like over the top scared, right? And here he is trembling and astonished. And here's what he said to the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? I think the guy got saved right there. Right before that, he got saved. Otherwise, he wouldn't be asking him what to do, right? Then Saul is saved. Woo! He's on the ground. He gets saved. And here's his first words. Lord, what do you want me to do? Shouldn't that be the cry of every Christian? Shouldn't that be the cry of our heart? Lord, what do you want me to do? And then we need to be willing to do it. It's one thing to ask him. It's another thing to carry it out, right? Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's what the Lord says. Listen, he says the same thing to him. He says to most of us. And he said, then the Lord said to him in the middle of verse 6, arise and go. Bottom line, I interpret it this way. The Lord said, go. Because that's what most of us need to do. We need to get going. Sometimes as Christians, man, here's the thing. Tell me if I'm wrong. We tell the Lord, what do you want me to do? And here's what we're expecting back from him. A 6, 7, maybe 8 hour video. Documentary on exactly what we're going to be doing so we could approve it or not approve it, right? Come on. And here's what the Lord tells us. Lord, what do you want me to do? Here's what he says. Go. Just go. Have you read your Bible? What do you tell Abraham? Abraham, go. He even told Abraham. Abraham goes, where am I going? I'll tell you when you get there. Imagine telling your wife that. Honey, we're going. Where are we going? Just get in the car. We're going. God will tell us when to stop. That's frightening, man. That is like crazy frightening, huh? So here's what he says. Listen, go. And look how easy this is. Lord, what do you want me to do? Check this out, Christian. He says, go, right? He says, arise and go into the city, and there you will be told what you must do. Hey, step one, Christian, step one, just be obedient to the little thing he shows you. Get up and go to the city. That's all God told him. That's all the vision God gave him. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to go into the city. Woo-hoo! And then he tells him the rest. And you're going to be told what? What you must do, not what you can do, not what you will do, but what you must do. Here's the problem with a lot of us. We don't want to go in the city because if we go in the city and he tells us what we must do, we want to approve or disapprove. Get up and go into the city. That's all you got to do. That's not hard. That doesn't take a lot of faith, does it? You guys agree? So get up and go. Go into the city. So that's what he does, right? He gets up. This is after the Lord tells him that. And, we get a little picture of the men. Camera pans over to the men. Verse 7, and the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. And these guys are like freaking out. They're looking at Paul. They're looking at what on earth is going on. They're hearing. And even one time it says later on, and I think it's in chapter 26, it says they didn't hear. But here's what that means. Didn't mean that they didn't hear audibly. What it meant is they didn't understand. They heard, but they're hearing. Here's what they're hearing the whole time. What is going on? And listen, then he stands up. Listen, he stands up. Saul arose from the ground in verse 8. And when his eyes were open, he saw no one. Listen, he opened his eyes and he's going like this. Hey, guys, I can't see. Oh, no. What just happened? I don't know. I had an encounter with Jesus. And now I can't see. What do you mean you had an encounter with Jesus? He just talked to me. You guys didn't hear him? Well, we heard a noise, but we didn't understand it. And what was it he said? He told me to go into the city. And you guys are going to have to help me get there because I can't see anything. You see, he was blind spiritually, but now he's blind physically to teach him. How was he going to go into Damascus? He was going in there as a conqueror. He was going in there to annihilate Christianity. Now, how's he going in? Listen, he could see nothing, and what does it tell us? It tells us, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus like a child. Wow, I love it, don't you? Here's this guy that was coming at them with everything he had, and God tamed him. God saved him. God touched him. Whew. So good, right? Oh, and then it tells us, listen, verse 9, and he was 3 days without sight and neither ate nor drank. I bet, man. I think it would take me more than 3 days to process what just happened. right? That's huge, huge. So now listen, now he's there, he's in Damascus, he's thinking about it. So we're gonna leave him for a moment. We're gonna leave Saul there, the camera's gonna pan across town, and we're gonna look at, you like the movie? This is what's in my head, right? Do you guys do movies in your head? Yeah, they're better than movies, man. Because in this head they are. So listen, man, they pan across town. And now what was the church doing in Damascus? Don't you think they were praying? Hey, if you knew somebody was coming to Tucson today and was going to take us all and at least just arrest us, maybe kill some of us, what would you be doing? Some of you would be going, I'm not even coming to church. That's what I'm doing. Those the rest of us, though, we're going to be praying, right? So listen, the camera pans over. I think the church is praying. I think they're praying for God to do something. And isn't it crazy, man? God already did something, right? So listen, one guy's praying. This is so good. Verse 10, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here I am, Lord. Man, I got love. Listen, Ananias, here I am, Lord. Wow. He doesn't even say his name twice. He says it once. This guy's ready, man. He's loaded and ready. Here's what that tells me. He was praying, right? And it's like some of us, man. The Lord, you know, impresses on us. Maybe speaks to us. I don't know. He didn't speak to me, but he's speaking to Ananias. And here's what he's saying. Here I am. Woohoo! Yeah, you're not going to be so excited in a minute, bro. Listen, because some of us were thinking, anything, Lord, anything you want, I'm doing it, I'm ready, man. I just want to serve you, Jesus. I just want to represent you, Jesus. Really? You really want to represent me? Yeah, here's what I want you to do then, Ananias, since you're all fired up and ready. Here's what he says, verse 11. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Okay. I know I said anything, but I didn't really mean anything. God didn't mean something like that. Like that's crazy talk, Lord. That's like nuts. Really? You telling me? Oh, notice too. It's the disciple named Ananias. He's not a church leader. He's one of us. He's not an apostle. He's one of us. And the Lord says, hey, I think he's thinking right now, why don't you talk to one of the apostles? Yeah, I just want you to go lay hands on this guy who kills Christians. I don't think I want to do that. Like, I could pray, and I'll pray for whoever you're going to send, but I don't... That's just crazy. That's just over the top. Here's what I found. It makes no sense, right? And you and I need to understand something, because I think way too often as Christians, we want to follow the Lord when it makes sense, when it's logical, when it's in our comfort zone. Listen carefully. That's not called faith. That's called logic. It's when it's not logical, makes no sense, and outside of our comfort zone. That's faith. So here's what I want you to do, Ananias. I want you to do a little faith walk here. And Ananias goes, I don't want to, Lord. Listen to what he says, verse 13. Ananias answered and said, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Don't you love the honesty? Here's what I love about this passage, man. It's genuine. Ananias acts just like any of us would have acted. And he says, Lord, you are out of your mind. I'm not going. Do you know where you're telling me to go? Do you know who this guy is? Lord, here's his resume. Look, you read it. Right? Hold it up. Give it to him. Here, you read it. I don't want to do that. I'm not going to do that. I love it. Man, do you ever argue with God? You guys, you're spiritual. God sometimes like shows me stuff and I think, no. Call Robert. That's what I tell him. I don't want to do it. No, Lord, I don't want to do it, man. And hey, listen carefully. I think it's good. I even think it's healthy to be honest with God. Because number one, first and foremost, he already knows. Like if you tell him you're freaking out, he's not going to freak out that you're freaking out because he already knows you're freaking out, right? So listen, be honest, talk to God. Here's what I love, man, this guy's honest. So here's what the Lord says. Oh, okay, Ananias, I'm sorry. Now what does the Lord say? But the Lord said to him, look at, the Lord said to him, go. Don't you love it? Go, why? Why should he go? And I'm gonna paraphrase this before we read it. The Lord says, go, why? Because I got your back, Ananias. You don't have to worry. You don't have to worry, man, just go. And then he tells him, listen, he gives him a little insight. For he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. I've chosen him. I placed him. You go, you're going to be fine. And then I think he's thinking, okay, all that's fine. That's cool. And then look at verse 16. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias might like that part. Oh, dude, you're going to suffer. Oh, you know all that stuff you did to us. Oh, you're going to suffer. I don't know if he said that stuff, but come on. Listen, man. So go. Go, Ananias. It's going to be fine. Do you trust God? Yeah. Go, man. I don't know. I still, look, the next thing. Oh, by the way, there's still a street called Straight in Damascus. Now, I don't know, since the war, since it's all messed up now, but up until the Civil War, there was a street, I want to go see that street sometime. Maybe during the millennium. But I want to go see it, man, a street called Straight. So, go, so here's the thing, okay, listen, verse 17, and Ananias went. How long was the walk? How far was it? I have all these questions. Because here's what I'm thinking, man, if it was like a 10-minute walk, oh, man, my mind would be going nuts. You guys too? Do you guys ever work out scenarios in your head? They're like crazy. Oh, man, when I get there and I knock on the door, it's going to be so bad, so bad, so bad. He's probably going to have a knife in his hand. And I got to figure out, how am I going to defend myself? And how am I going to duck? And what am I going to do? What if his guys are with him? What if all of his guys come out? I don't know what to do, man. I'm walking all the way, walking to going there. And I don't know, maybe it was a 2-minute walk. I don't know. But the whole time, you got to be like, oh, no, I'm really doing this. I can't believe I'm doing this. I can't believe this, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You guys do that? Oh, protect me, Lord. Oh, no, here we go. Ay, 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 ay. So he goes, listen, I love it, man. He goes, and what does it say, man? He went, laying his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Oh, man, that had to be so, woo! Do you hear that? And he goes and he lays his hands on him. And I don't know what the inflection of his voice was when he said, Brother Saul. I don't know if he went, Brother Saul. I don't know, you know. But the cool thing is he calls him brother. Are you picking up on that? He calls him Brother Saul. And he says, listen, receive your sight. And then what does he say? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know what happened? He got filled with the Holy. Whoa. Listen, they didn't just go, oh, thank you. Good meeting you. God bless. There was some hallelujah going on, man. There's some dancing. There's some shouting. There's some, like, Christianity on steroids. I think this had to be one of the greatest times in church history. The one who was going to kill everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Yes. And we kind of read it like this. Then he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the next verse say? We don't, like, get involved. How come we don't get involved? Aren't you excited this morning? You know, just a little bit. Just a little bit, man. Saul got saved. Now he's got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then look what he does. He's a crazy man. Check this out. It says then in verse 18, immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. Check this out. And he arose and he was baptized. Dude, you didn't even go through our baptism class. Like, he's like, what is going on here? Woo. Man, listen, why do you think he was baptized immediately? Here's my take on it. I could be wrong, but here's my take on it. I think he got baptized immediately for the 25, 30, 40 guys that were following him. Amen. As a witness to them. I'm not turning back. This is a real deal, man. I found Jesus on that road to Damascus, and I'm not turning back, and you guys need to know this is serious. Listen, I understand. Baptism doesn't save us. Hey, if you don't believe in Jesus and you get baptized, you're just a wet sinner. So listen, Listen, but it's an emblem to the world. It shows the world I'm following Jesus. Now, for us in our culture, it's not that big a deal. Most people, you know, people don't look at it that way. When I was in Bible college, there was a girl that came over. She's like in her 20s, and she came from Japan and gave her testimony to us. And I remember, man, she's a little bitty thing. She's a little short girl, and she began to give her testimony, and she says, you know, and told us when she got saved. And then she said, and then I got baptized. And the day that I got baptized, my family had a funeral for me. Her family disowned her and said she died. That's commitment. And then I'll never forget, as long as I live, that little short girl began to sing, "I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back." There's a bunch of Bible college students, tears just coming down. This is Paul. This is Saul. Man, can you imagine how excited Ananias was? Man, it would have been, wouldn't it have been great to baptize Saul? Woo! Yes! Yes! Oh, it gets even better. Look at what he does. This is great. Man, I love. Not only does he get converted, not only does he get filled with the Spirit, not only does he get baptized, check out what he does next. Look at verse 19. So when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. You know what spending days with the disciples at Damascus means? He went to church.
Yes.
Can you imagine Ananias walks in with Saul? Who's that with you, Ananias? That's Saul. You know, the guy that was going to kill us. What are you bringing him to church for? What's the matter with you? He got saved. I don't think he really got saved. Did he really, really get saved? Yeah, he really got saved. Like, he got filled with the Holy Spirit. You should have been there. Well, why didn't you call us, man? Why didn't you let us know? Wow. Is that great? See, because too many people, here's what they think. They think church is an option. Hear my heart. Listen, I'm not just saying this because I'm a pastor and want to fill the church. Church is not an option. Church is where we come together as the body. And some people tell me, I don't need the church. Here's what I tell them. Number one, maybe you don't, but the church needs you. And we need each other. And you get Saul walking in the church. Oh, man, wouldn't you have loved to have been there that first few days? The conversations, the Bible study going on, opening up scrolls and reading them and discussing them and debating them and everything going down. Man, it had to be so tremendous. And people will tell me sometimes, you know, I really love God, but I don't love God's people. I gotta be honest. Here's what I think inside. This is a little transparency. Liar. For this reason, my Bible says that you can't love God and not love his people. I'm in John, 1 John. If you love God, you're gonna love his people. You're gonna care about his people. So don't you love it, Saul, going to church? Wow, now, we got to stop. We can't finish this. So here's the deal. I'm going to make a deal with you, okay? While the group's in Israel, I'm going to come and teach during one of the midweeks. I forget which one. So from now on, go to the midweeks until I show up. We're going to finish chapter 9, okay? Yeah, we'll finish it. So just leaving you hanging. Now, here's the deal, though. You can't read ahead. Because we got to keep the suspense going, man. We got to be excited about this. I don't want you reading ahead going, ah, I figured out what happened. It gets better and better and better. But then, hear my heart. If you're here today and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've never asked him to forgive your sins, to come into your life, today is the day of salvation. Someone might say, man, but Pat, you don't know what I've done. No, I don't, and I don't really care. Honestly. You know, I remember Chuck Smith saying when somebody said, I got to tell you the things I've done. I remember Chuck saying this, do these look like garbage cans? You know, I don't need to hear what you've done. But here's what I do know. Nobody is unsavable. Nobody is beyond the grace of God. So if you're here this morning, man, give your heart to Jesus. Just give it up. Quit kicking against the goads. Quit beating your ankles. And give your heart to Jesus, and you'll never regret it. So that's for those who don't know you, or don't know him, man. Just do it today, right? And if you're going to do that, listen, if you're going to give your heart to Jesus, then after we're all done, just make your way over to the prayer room. Let them know. Tell them. I don't have time to do the whole invitation, the whole altar call. So just tell them, let them know, I gave my heart to Jesus. They'll decide, you know, they'll give you some information. They'll even take you to lunch. How cool is that? Now, people in the prayer room are really mad, but I don't care. So listen, just tell them, Pat said I get lunch. So listen, though, man, make that step. Today is the day of salvation. That's for those who don't know Jesus. Now, most of us in this room, we have a relationship with Jesus, don't we? So here's my challenge to us. Go out those doors, and do what Ananias did. Lord, here I am. Go out and be Ananias's. Just go out and do it, man. Listen, you won't regret it. Don't you know how stoked Ananias, number one, he got in a Bible. How cool is that? I would be pretty stoked, man. I would be pretty stoked if people were reading in Pat and they were reading in their Bible. And Pat did, you know, in a good way. I don't want to be in there bad. Listen, Ananias got in the Bible. Check this out. And are you guys going to find him? When I get to heaven, I'm going to find Ananias because I got some questions. There's a couple things I want to know about this that only he could answer. So I'm going to talk to him. But how exciting. And he was just one of us. He wasn't like some super saint. He was a disciple of Jesus. Oh, saints, let's turn the world upside down, huh? Let's do this. All right, let's stand up. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we do thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the challenges. We read what's going on and see what's going on, Lord. I pray again. I just want to lift up anybody in here who doesn't know you right now. Right now, as our hearts are bowed, just touch that individual. Let them confess their sin to you, the fact that they are a sinner, and ask you to forgive them. And Lord, touch them and bring them to that place of salvation, just like we read about Saul, in an instant, in a moment of time. And for the rest of us, God, we want to be faithful. You've called us from many different places. You've gifted us many different ways. And may we use our gifts and talents that you've given us to glorify you and make you known throughout the world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you guys, remember, some midweek in March, we're going to finish this, okay? So show up, and we're going to finish it. God bless you. Thank you again for letting me come.